To paraphrase the Islamic poet Hafez, the subject for today is love, and for tomorrow as well. As a matter of fact, he says, I know no better topic for us to discuss until we all die. And he's not speaking of physical death there. So what would you say if somebody told you there was this incredible power inside you, power that was so great it could form things, it could form worlds, it could heal broken things, it could even heal and transform the past? Well, there is such a power. The Beatles sang about it. Unity co-founders Charles and Myrtle Fillmore talk about it and wrote about it. And it's already in each one of us, and it is literally the power of love. In their book, The Revealing Word, Charles Fillmore writes this: love is the pure essence of being that binds together the whole human family. Of all the attributes of God, love is undoubtedly the most beautiful. In divine mind, the power of love joins and binds all things in harmony, the universe and everything in it. It is the great harmonizing principle known to mankind. He goes on to comment, divine love is impersonal. Impersonal. It loves simply for the sake of loving. It is not concerned with what it loves, or even with a return for love. Like the sun, its joy is in the shining forth of its nature. Love. I wonder if Charles was reading Hafez, who writes this: even after all this time, the sun never says to the earth, you owe me. Look at what happens with a love like that. It lights up the whole sky. Well, part of the story of the song Will and Ginger sang that they didn't know till just a couple minutes ago was in the late 90s. I was living in Charlotte, North Carolina, and driving down one of the streets there in my beautiful 79 VW bus. Nice avocado plaid interior and brown. And I was just kind of mindlessly singing to myself, and I started singing the song I Will. And I started just being overcome with this sense of love. Just totally overcome with this sense of love. Without any warning. You know, who knows how long I've loved you? You know I love you still. Love you forever and forever. And it was a very interesting experience. Since then, for me, the song has always been a spiritual song. And I'm never sure when I'm singing it or hearing it if I'm singing to God, or if God's singing to me, or if maybe both are happening simultaneously. I get the sense that's what's happening. That there is no differentiation in who's singing, but it's definitely me and God. Maybe we're doing a duet. But it always feels the same, as they say. Moments like that can literally be life-changing. They can transform us, they can shift us, they can heal what needs healing inside. Sometimes we resist, we try to push them away. And so the love kind of backs off and waits for the next moment when it can start moving in our life and doing what it needs to do, because that's what it does. That's just what it does. You find comments about love in the Bible. There's the very common thing we hear read from 1 John. It says, God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. We could say in other terms, that divine presence is love, and those who abide in love abide in that divine presence, and it lives in them. The section goes on to say, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment. People back then are worried about what happens at the end of their life. Isn't that interesting? And it goes on to say, because he is, speaking of Jesus, because as he is, so are we. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out all fear. Whoever fears has not yet reached perfection in love. Not yet reached. Eventually, of course, we all hit that perfection. It's guaranteed because it's who and what we are. Perfect love, freedom from fear. The Fillmores associated this power of love with the disciple John, who we find writings from in the Bible. And they believed there was a spiritual center in the body where you could go inside and connect with it. And they felt for themselves it was in the area of the chest near the heart. Yes, they knew about heart chakras. They had read things like that from their time. And they taught that by centering in the heart, or the area around the heart, we could actually connect with and feel that love. We could actually begin to experience or build our ability to do that and allow it to become active in our lives. So you could actually take just a moment and just close your eyes for a second. Let's just do that for just a second. Let's just close our eyes and let our attention go to the breath moving in the chest, and just feel your chest rising and falling gently with each breath. And as you feel the rise and fall of the chest, let the attention go a little bit behind the chest into the area of the heart. Now you're at that place inside by the spiritual heart, right behind the chest where the breathing happens. And from that place, let's now begin to think of someone we feel deep love for. Could be someone who's present with us now. Could be someone who's moved on. But just think of someone that you really feel a deep sense of love for, and maybe say their name in your head to help you connect with them. Maybe see their face if you can, or what you think they look like. Just think of that person and maybe just smile inwardly at that person, remembering how much you love them. Let that love go through your heart to them. Love you forever and forever. And then open your eyes gently. Some of you may have felt a little heart or love connection with that person. If you didn't feel it immediately, maybe you will the next time you do that. If it's hard doing it with a person, my friend Mark Shepherd often says when he's trying to think of something or needs to get that thing, puppies and kittens, puppies and kittens, puppies and kittens. Works for me, puppies and kittens. I like that. We feel something inside us, and it's the movement of that storehouse of love inside us. And all it takes is our attention and a little bit of attention, and we can begin to do that. When I think of love, I try to remember always, remind myself, that it is a spiritual energy, that it's an energy that's present everywhere. You know, go back to Star Wars and think of the force that is everywhere. It is that presence, except it's a force of divine love. And as we nurture and work with our ability to connect with it more and more, and we practice and we get better at it, then we get better at being able to experience and feel that love, to invite it to move through us, and then it begins to move on its own. We stop moving it, it starts moving us. It starts moving in our relationships, it starts moving in our places of work. It starts flowing. To the extent that we attempt to ignore it or suppress it, it'll feel like something's missing. Something's missing in life. Maybe that's why Jesus encouraged people to actively love one another. Right? Love one another. Even to love the people that right now feel like enemies or people who are adversarial with us. To love even the ones that seem to have done things they shouldn't have done. To find the willingness to love that. I think he knew that to the extent that we had our hearts closed to any sister or brother or mother or father, any person, to the extent that we felt our hearts were closed, we were closed off. We would be missing something. We would be missing some of who we are. Yet to the extent that we were willing to actively open our hearts to those around us, to that extent, we would feel things like love and healing and forgiveness and openness with not just the people we were focusing on, but everybody around us. Everybody around us. It's interesting because we seem to have different little doorways through which love moves through us. You know, there's a little doorway for family members, for love of family, but there seems to be a different doorway for the love of friends or acquaintances. And, you know, there may be one doorway for love for our favorite pets, you know, and another doorway for love for those that we have a romantic feeling toward. We may seem to have some well-fortified doorways, barricaded for those that we are just not going to love. And then, of course, we often come here to church to begin to help open our hearts to that spiritual, that divine love. It's the love that we come to practice. Each of the doorways seems to be important. Each seems to be different. Each seems to let in a different kind of love. You know, physical love, love for family, love for friends, love for ideas that we love, love for things that we see as beautiful. But are there really a whole bunch of different doorways inside us, and are there really a whole bunch of different kinds of love? I don't think so. I've thought about it a lot. To my mind, I get the feeling that there's one door and one love. One door and one love. The door is in the very center of our being, and because we're created by love, the door is always open. It's always open. Now, sometimes that's hard for us, because sometimes we think we don't want it open. Sometimes we think that's not such a great idea that the door is always open. So we imagine that we close it. We imagine that we can't. We imagine that we only let in certain kinds of love or let out certain kinds of love through the doorway. That's what we imagine. But of course, I don't actually think anything can block that doorway. We may miss the fact that it's open. We may miss the fact that love is moving through it. But the doorway is always open. And to the extent that we acknowledge that it's open and we let the love move, we feel good. And to the extent that we imagine that we have somehow closed the doorway, we have somehow blocked it, or that we're resisting the movement of that love, we don't feel so good. Feels off. Feels like something's wrong. Which then raises the question, why the heck would we block or try to imagine blocking the doorway to love in our hearts? You know, why does that commandment from Jesus, love one another, seem like, boy, that's a tough assignment? Why does that seem like such a tough assignment? I suspect it seems like a tough assignment because at some level we're aware that if we acknowledge that open doorway, and if we acknowledge what was going on, a lot of the beliefs and junk we've been carrying in our head would just crumble and fall away. We wouldn't be able to maintain some of the stories and beliefs and all that that we're really attached to. Who did what to who? What should happen? What shouldn't happen? A lot of that stuff would just dissolve in the presence of that love. And sometimes we're not sure we're ready for that. We're not ready for the big meltdown, you know? You ever have the heart-opening moments? The heart-opening moments when you just, like, your heart just opens and this incredible movement or release of a lot of negative energy goes out, and you're usually sobbing or at least moved inside. And at the end of it, you feel so much better. You feel so much better. Well, I have a feeling that if we actually acknowledged the open door in the middle of us, that would happen all the time, till there was no more junk. And then, of course, the question is, if there was no more junk and no more stories, who would I be? Who would I be if I couldn't whine about how tough fifth grade was? You know? Who would I be if I didn't have all my preferences and stories? Who would I be? Oh my gosh. I get the sense that's probably what Jesus and other spiritual teachers experience in their awakening, is that openness to that understanding of his, you know, as he says in the Bible, God who sends the rain on the fields of the good and the not good, God that blesses everything. We'd be like that. So each day, love talks to us, whispers in our ear, inviting us to notice that we have an open heart, to invite it to move freely through us. How do we begin doing that? Well, we can focus attention on the heart center, our center of love. We can meditate or contemplate about the love that's present inside us. We can just use our imaginations. We can affirm that we are loved by all of creation. We can begin holding loving thoughts about others. We can remember those that we love. Help that remember that we're open. We can rest in the awareness each day and feel, work on taking time to feel that love presence moving through us. It may be very subtle at first. You may not have instant success in that. Think of puppies and kittens. Something that makes your heart feel some sense of joy. And finally, we can remind ourselves that if this is true for us, if there's love in me, if the door to my heart is open, then it's true for everybody else too. The ones I think I like, the ones I don't think I like. And as we begin to acknowledge that and to find that open doorway and to just allow it to move, allow the love to move through us in whatever way it chooses, we will find ourselves experiencing things like healing and love and blessing in our lives, and we will be able to help others, not by what we say, but just by being who we're being. So I thought we would do a little practical exercise for this morning before we close. We're going to tell people that we love them. We're going to tell people that we love them out loud. So I'm going to start with the folks on this side of this church. And they're going to look across at this group over here, who's going to look back at them. And dear friends on the right, I invite you to say to the other group, I love you. I love you. Let's do that again together. I love you. How about this? I love you exactly as you are. I love you exactly as you are. How about this? You are beautiful and perfect in my eyes. You are beautiful and perfect in my eyes. One last one. Thank you for being here for me today. Thank you for being here to me today. Beautiful. All right, folks on this side, your turn. You guys get to listen. Together we say to them, I love you. Together, I love you. And again, I love you. I love you exactly as you are. I love you exactly as you are. You are beautiful and perfect in my eyes. Together, you are beautiful and perfect in my eyes. And one last thing, thank you for being here for me today. Together, thank you for being here for me today. There you go. That's the practice. That's a practice for beginning to open your heart, to beginning to acknowledge that the door is open and there's no reason to even imagine blocking it. It's a way to work with that. And I left you with a healing thought in the bulletin as an affirmation for the week that we can work with during the week that simply says, divine love created and sustains me. I am loved and loving. Let's say that together. Together, divine love created and sustains me. I am loved and loving. And again, Divine love created and sustains me. I am loved and loving. Close your eyes for a second. Let that thought settle in. Divine love created you. Divine love created me. You can say that for yourself. Divine love created me. I am a creation of love itself. I'm made out of love. That's my nature. Nothing else. Anything else? Just my imagination. Divine love created me. Divine love sustains me. Sustains me through whatever else I might imagine. Divine love sustains me. This day, the next day, the next day. That energy of love, that force that permeates the universe, sustains me. This is true for you and for everyone else. And as we begin to realize that, as we begin to let that move through us freely, that idea move through us freely, we begin to see our world with new eyes, see things we've never seen before. We begin to see other people with new eyes. We're surprised because there's divine love looking back at us. We begin to look in the mirror and see ourselves with the eyes of divine love, looking back at us from our own mirror. That is the love that creates us. That is the love that sustains us. It's who and what we are. And because of that, we are loved. And our nature is love. So let's open our eyes and share that together again. Together we say, divine love created and sustains me. I am loved and loving. One last time to anchor it. Divine love created and sustains me. I am loved and loving. And that is the truth. Have fun working with that this week.